our speaker today, and in the signs of the times, she is going to be sharing with us via video, and then we're going to Zoom with her for questions and answers. And I'll say more about that in just a second, about who is going to be sharing with us today. But I want to take just a moment and just introduce maybe to some of you and remind the rest of you that we are coming into the season of Advent. Advent starts next Sunday, and it is basically a season of preparation. So it's remembering the first coming of Jesus, but Advent means coming, like the coming of someone. And so we are also anticipating the second coming. So it's really a preparation for Christmas. Then we then move into the 12 days of Christmas, and actually just, we'll talk more about our sermon series, but in Advent, we're going to be talking about the idea of kind of fasting, not just from food, and then the 12 days of Christmas are feasting. And that's kind of historically how this kind of rolls out. But one thing we do here is we do what's called Advent Conspiracy. And the reason it's called Advent Conspiracy is because we have chosen as a community of believers to conspire against culture. And to conspire against culture in a very specific way as it relates to Christmas, where what often happens at Christmas, people get caught up in a frantic, just into a frenzy of buying and gifts and all this kind of stuff, spending money, sinking themselves into debt. And we are conspiring against that. You know, I need to make this brief, I know, but I want you to understand worldwide, $1 trillion is spent at Christmas. Much of that is for gifts that will be forgotten, broken, or thrown away within months of receiving those gifts. Now, I'm all for giving. I'm all for gift giving. But if we took even just 1%, think of what, I was trying to figure it out. I think 1% of a trillion, is it a million or am I off beat the base there? 10 million, it's a lot of money. Think of what could be done. I've heard it said that if we just did that, we could actually purchase wells and build wells that every person in the world could have clean drinking water. If we just cut back 1% worldwide. So it's, you know, so this is what we do. Advent, every year for Advent, this is what we encourage you to do. And my family, we do it as well. The first thing I want to encourage you to do is to worship fully. There wouldn't be a Christmas without Jesus. Jesus, it's cliche to the max, but Jesus truly is the reason we're in this season. It's because of his first coming. So worship fully. I strongly encourage you, the reason when we're even in our series, we're going to be calling for pause. Like, just don't get, and I know it's different with COVID this year, but man, you can get just going on Amazon, you know, and just start clicking and buying. So we're encouraging you to pause, to worship fully. The second thing we ask you to do is to spend less. Spend less. Think about your gifts and how you're giving. In my family, we've chosen to draw names. Even as with my adult children now, we draw names. We have one person, and we pour ourselves into that one person. That's our gift to them. And so we try to be more thoughtful, and just it's powerful. I love it. So spend less. Then the third thing is give more. Take the money that you saved and give it to things that really matter. Give to things that have eternal value. And, you know, I would argue that people have eternal value. And so we try to find things to give to. So really quick, every year we give these Christmas baskets. We'll talk more about this. I'm not going to do it so much today. But we give Christmas baskets to George Middle School again. And these baskets, they've asked us to do it full of just practical household supplies. They say there's plenty of toys out there. Our families need practical things, and we do that every year. And then Rose, who is the one who's going to be sharing today, she is going to talk about the second project that we're going to be giving to, and usually we have a goal of $1,000 for both of those, so $2,000 total. The last thing then that really applies to these projects is love all. So we give more so that we can love more, so that we can love people, give specifically to things that matter. So we'd ask you to contemplate those things here, but now I want to introduce Rose Brewer. And Rose Brewer, is she there? Oh, there she is. That's a nice picture of her. She was actually the associate pastor here, and we worked together along with her husband David and her two kids she was here for at least 7 years, I think. I think it might be longer. That's terrible. Don't tell her. She can't hear this, can she? Oh, she probably is watching online. Sorry, Rose. But they were here, and I will just say this. When the Brewer family left, I walked around this church for a year in a total daze. I hardly knew what to do. They were so key and so integral, but they moved to Indianapolis to do what she's going to share with you about here today. So she went from being an associate pastor here in a little church in North Portland to an international ministry director and traveler. So I think that's pretty good. So anyway, so I just want to introduce to you one of my favorite people in the world, actually, and that's Rose Brewer.
Hello, Grace Christian Fellowship. It is great to be with you. So, of course, obviously, I would love to be there with you in person. So today I get to welcome you virtually to my work from home office, which is, believe it or not, this is one corner of Zephaniah's room, because believe it or not, our son Zephaniah, who was a tiny, tiny baby when I started pastoring at Grace, is now a college freshman. So believe it or not, he's up at Anderson University. They have a really nice, safe bubble there, and he is taking classes in person. He loves it. He's doing great. And I get half of his room for my work from home office. So David and Jacoby are here. They're going to try to come on in during the Zoom time and say hi. So I get to be the one, though, who tells you, first of all, thank you for your solid support all throughout the years. Really faithful support to pray for us, to support us, to challenge us, to encourage us, and to pray for us. So I cannot tell you enough how much that means to me and really how much difference it makes. But today I get to talk to you about Seed and some of the things we're doing. You know that when we first took over Seed, it was a lot about handicrafts. It was a lot about jewelry, and it was a lot about bags. And we have switched that up some to things that make more sense for the market. But also, Dave and I have worked really hard to make seed capital projects, which are projects that make sense for the community, not to export to the U.S., but just locally based solutions. So some of the things we're doing right now are helping the church in Costa Rica to provide chickens to their community so that people have protein ongoing. So some to eat right away and some to for eggs for an ongoing source of protein, which is incredibly vital during this time. Helping a church in India make masks locally for the school children that are all around them. Helping the Weavers group that we've been working with for a long time get some new yarn thread so that they can have enough material for the next 2 or 3 years. Also helping a couple groups in some creative access countries to do screen printing businesses, because those are what makes sense for them to help give people jobs and to reach out to their community to be a real presence there. But this is the project that I am most excited about. We are launching a project in Kenya. We are launching this in Kenya, but we are already taking baby steps to launch this after that in Togo in the Middle East with the churches working in the refugee camps in Eastern Europe and also Asia. And I think you'll see why this is kind of a universal problem and also a universal microenterprise that makes sense for churches around the world. So as we are working with those two groups, what we've learned is that when girls are 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, whatever, they start missing school 2 or 3 or 4 days a month, month after month. after month. And the reason is simply that they don't have supplies, so that when their menstrual flow comes, they can't go to school. So this, for all of you men, by the way, who are starting to be like, whoa, check out, this is not about me. This is about you. And, it's really about how we see each other as created in the image of God. So hang in there with me. So you'll see, as we get into this, how it applies and how it's a much bigger thing. So these girls are missing school all the time. Their grades are dropping. Their shame is going up. Some of the solutions that girls in our churches, in our schools, in the communities where we have Free Methodists around the world, some of the solutions are dried cow patties. They are leaves. They are old rags. Some are disposable pads that when they are full, they drop and they fall out in front of anybody who's there with you. And some of the comments that girls that we've talked to have received are comments like from their stepfathers who say, "How can you be so irresponsible?" So these girls who are already trying to hide this thing that is taboo in almost every single place around the world, including the US, they're trying to hide this because it's a thing of shame, but they can't because their solutions aren't, they're just not up to the task. So this is where SEED and our work with sewing centers around the world comes in. We have a product developer who lives in Portland who creates really the most amazing things that SEED has are all really have her fingerprints all over them. And she is working with the girls in Kenya and with women in Kenya to say, hey, what works well for you? She's going to work with the folks in other places also and say, what works for you, both culturally and practically in that climate? So in Kenya, we've been having a lot of conversations with the girls, and what they need is a reusable menstrual underwear that they can wash, that will dry, and that they can reuse, probably more than one. But in Kenya, most of the girls hand wash their things. They don't have washers and dryers. And then they hang them out on the fence or on the bush to dry. So it's important in Kenya that it's something that dries quickly because of the humidity. And it's something that you're okay with hanging out there, because if it's not something that you mind, that you want the neighbors to see, then a lot of girls and women hang things inside, indoors, where they're not drying, they're not getting sunshine, and then the girls are getting infections. So this is an issue again, guys. This is an issue now, but it's also an issue for the future, because what happens to girls who are 10, 11, 12, and 13 and who start missing school and their grades go down and they drop out? What happens is they are at risk. In Kenya, actually, even the rates of teenage pregnancy have gone up. And this is why. During coronavirus, girls usually get their menstrual supplies from school. They're not in school this year. They're not physically in school this year. So they're not getting their supplies. They are so desperate for many reasons to hide this that they end up engaging in transactional sex so that they have the money to go buy their menstrual supplies. So the teenage pregnancy rate in Kenya is shooting up along with the coronavirus curve. Super simple solution is just to make sure that they have reusable menstrual supplies that are sufficient for them. So again, this is where SEED comes in. We can help design something that works for them, climate and culturally. And we're also designing another version that works for middle class and upper class women in each country, usually that have washers and dryers. And our goal is that all of these local sewing centers can help design a product that works in their country, and they will have some that they can give away to the girls in ICCM and beyond, and they have some that they can sell to the middle class and upper class women, with the idea that these women buy one and one is given to a school girl. So that is our hope for long-term sustainability and for long-term job creation in the community, and obviously for a long term for the churches to have this really great way to reach out to their community. So we're very, very, very excited about that. The other piece of it is the churches in Kenya are already distributing a certain kind of reusable menstrual supplies. And as they do that, they're already doing education. So we're looking at making a product that works incredibly effectively, that creates jobs in country, and that when it's distributed, it goes along with a curriculum. And that curriculum will talk about how people are wonderfully made, that they are created in the image of God, and it will include how to fight trafficking in that community. So it's really a holistic solution of providing jobs, providing something that's needed in the community, and also providing curriculum along these channels we already have with ICCM, Set Free, and Seed, and the local churches. So this is why I had this passage read today, this passage from Psalm 136. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know me when I sit down and when I rise up. He knows exactly what these girls have had to do and what the solutions were that were available to them. You search out my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I go from your presence? If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me and the light around me shall become night, even the darkness is not dark to you, Lord. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you, Lord, who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. That I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed. I have always loved that psalm, and as we're working on this menstrual supplies project, it just hits me at this deeper level. Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know me when I sit down, when I rise up. You are acquainted with all of my ways. It is you who formed me. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That is our hope. As we have, as we've talked with leaders in Kenya, as we've talked with other partners working on this in childcare and Set Free, I think we have all, I'm thinking through everybody that has been on these calls and talking and working on this launch, we have all hit this point where we're just like choked up. Like, we are just seeing the tip of the iceberg of what God is doing through this. And I think this is a key piece of it. This is our heart, is that each of these girls, each of the young boys would know that they are wonderfully made, that they are made in the image of God, that God sees them, that God knows them, that God loves them, that God created them. Just that foundational knowledge and how that is really transformative into how girls see themselves, how boys see girls, how people become leaders, how boys and men make room for women to be leaders. All of that, that is our heart, that we would be in step with the heart of God, and that we would really be saying, okay, God, we feel like you're calling us to this. We are all in, and we want to help make this happen in whatever way you're leading us to. So we are very, very excited about it. We're excited for Kenya. We're excited for Togo. We're excited as this spreads across the globe through our churches. And as we look at it from a seed standpoint, we are looking at this possibly taking up like a third of this being really a third of what we do, this even possibly being a half of what we do in the next year, 2 years, or 5 years, or 10 years. But right now, we know this will probably be about half of what we do in the rest of 2020, and then through 2021. As you can probably tell, this is a big project. It's not even a project. It's bigger than a project. We are so glad to be in step with God's Spirit and to be going for it. Just we are fully in on it. And as we're doing it, we are looking for people who will come alongside us and who will say, yes, we will support you in prayer. We will encourage you. And we are also looking for financial partners. We are looking at this, launching this in Kenya, being somewhere between $10,000 and $15,000 to launch it there. And again, that is launching the curriculum, the distribution, the creation, the design, the marketing to other women in Kenya so that they can buy one and give one. So it's actually a great return on investment to see that launched for that much. And we are also looking at, because this is going to be an ongoing project for Seed, we are looking for ongoing partners who would say, yes, we'll give $25, and we're looking for some people who will give $50, and we're looking for some people who will give $100 or $200, and we're looking for churches who will, who can keep supporting that on a monthly basis. So there's, I know your pastors are going to talk to you about Advent Conspiracy, and I'm pretty sure they're going to talk to you specifically about this for Advent Conspiracy. So they can tell you how to give. You can give on our website through Shop Seed Market. You can give through your envelope that's in the catalog. But for those of you who are right there at Grace, you can give right through your church through Advent Conspiracy. I wish I were there with you guys. That's all I'll say. I just wish I was there with you guys. So it is hard to say goodbye, but I think I get to stop this recording and get on Zoom with you guys. So I'm looking forward to that. So I don't know what you all think about this Advent Conspiracy idea. I loved how Kelly talked about conspiring against culture. And I just thought, well, this is definitely against culture. I mean, talking about and making period solutions and doing this curriculum about everybody created in the image of God and how families can fight trafficking seems super, super against culture. And I was actually encouraged watching on Facebook. I thought, okay, if people are like, I can't believe they're talking about this, and they're going to check off. So the numbers actually kept going up. So I was super encouraged, everybody who's on Facebook, that you hung in there with it. That was awesome. All right. So I think you guys have questions for me.
I really love hearing about how you guys are doing and the things that you guys are doing. And I just want to say, you know, that is awesome. Definitely praying for you guys. and love you guys greatly.
Awesome. Love you guys too, Todd and Sean. That's awesome. Beers.
So yeah. This is Kelly. A couple things. Sorry, I totally blew it about how long you guys were here for. How long were you here for?
So I was on staff for 7 or 8 years, and then we were there for 5 more years, I think, after I wasn't on staff.
ICCM, what that means?
ICCM is International Child Care Ministries. So they're the group that helps sponsor children and helps fund their education. They work with Free Methodist churches all over the world to help kids stay in school and to help get an education.
I'm just curious, like when we give towards this project, could you give any specifics of like what exactly, because you mentioned the $10,000, $15,000, but like what actually will that, will it be going for? Or it could be, I'm guessing, multiple things.
Right. It would definitely be multiple things. If you give $15,000, I'll give you a whole list. But the, actually I looked it up for you guys, and now I'm not finding it, but the exact numbers, but one of the things we thought, oh, this might be a fun way for churches to get involved is you could basically sponsor that all the girls in one school get these menstrual supplies. So there's a school right there in Nairobi. They have schools in 3 of the slums in Nairobi. They have one out in Kericho where I taught at Bible school, which got launched David and I on this whole seed involvement. So you can pick a school in Kenya and sponsor that all those girls would get kind of the first set of supplies. And then we're hoping after that, the middle-class and upper-class women being able to buy one and give one, we're hoping that will kick in after the first set.
So Rose, it's Kelly again. So how many schools are, so we're going to try to raise $1,000 at least. So can we give me a school? Give us a school. Can we do one school, 2 schools, or is it going to be more for one school? Or
good questions. So we just got the sample fabrics from Kenya. They like we just sent prototypes over. They just sent sample swatches over. So we don't know that for sure. We don't know how much it will be. I'm guessing that $1,000 would be one school with 3 sets for every girl.
Email Sarah with, and just give us the name of the school. Just pick one for us.
Right. Do you want one in Nairobi or do you want one by the Bible school where I taught?
But, well, which one do you want us to have? What's on your heart?
Both of them. That's why I was hoping you could choose. Oh, they both do. That's in Kericho, so we'll send you info about that. Yeah. I will say, when we go over, we always bring gifts, and we always say, oh, what kind of gifts would you like us to bring from the U.S.? And one of the gifts for the women that we work with is always, would you bring underwear? So, like, that's the, when you ask who needs it the most, like, it's a huge need.
So Rose, what is your hopeful launch date to start this project in earnest, and how much do you need to hit that mark, and what do you think the monthly is going to be to keep it rocking and rolling from the launch?
Right. Those are your numbers we're guessing at right now, because we are just starting the sample process even. We haven't written the curriculum yet, so we have... we know what we need to do, but we don't know how much all the cost is going to be. And the curriculum is actually going to be a book that every family gets and they get to take home with them. So we're guessing it will take at least 10 to 15,000 to launch in each area. So first Kericho, then Togo, and then the Middle East and beyond. So 10 to 15 in each area. And we're thinking kind of every month, I have no idea, honestly. It'll be somewhere between... I have no idea. I was going to say between 500 and 1,000, but I think it'll actually be more than that. So our product developers already spent like
6 months of full time doing research and such for this. So it's a, I don't know. So that's not a great answer, but we will have a better answer for you probably in 4 weeks and then a better answer in 3 months. So it's a great question.
This is Sarah. I've been moderating back in the office, but she says also, how do we get information about helping get kids out of this slavery? It's kind of a broad question, but
there's a spectrum of anti-trafficking work. There is this kind of project, which really prevents girls from ending up in slavery. Actually, also the curriculum, because it's geared towards boys and girls, will hopefully also keep boys out of slavery and from perpetuating slavery, both of those things. There are projects where people are rescued out of slavery. I would say if you want to support preventing trafficking, I would support something like this. If you want to know more, go to Google the Set Free Movement. Anti-trafficking movement. So the Set Free Movement, Google that. If you want to help women who have come out of trafficking, I would I would look in your catalog that you get. We have some bath bombs from a group called Eden's Glory, and they are helping women who have come out of trafficking here in the States. And I was going to try to find you their email. It's in the catalog. And you can also look up, I think it's just edensglory.org. So trafficking is really, to fight trafficking, we prevent it. We do a lot of work against it. And then we also help women who have come out of trafficking. There are people in our churches around the world who are currently being trafficked, meaning they are having to do things against their will, and they are not being paid for them. And that's even labor trafficking, like people who work as domestic help, but then their employer just conveniently doesn't pay them for 6 months. So things like that. So it's kind of, we do the kind of the holistic fight between us and child care ministries and the Set Free Movement. So great question, Kara. Thank you guys. So if anybody has questions they don't want to ask, then feel free to, you can actually contact us through the SEED website. There's a contact thing on there. And just say you're from Grace Christian Fellowship. I'll see that it's you and I'll respond personally to that. So, or Kelly and Sarah can give you my email.